It's Marketplace Tech for June 30th. I'm Ben Johnson. The large-scale cyber attack that has spread to upwards of 70 countries this week is still playing out in businesses and government organizations around the world. And many in the security community are now saying that it looks more like the work of a nation-state disguised as a few hackers trying to extract a few bucks out of companies affected. Whomever is the culprit and however it gets solved, the latest round of malware attacks got us thinking about insurance. Cyber liability insurance is a newish product, but it's a growth industry. Some put the business at $4 billion annually in premiums and expect that number to jump to $20 billion in the next decade. Smita Bhargava is Vice President of Programs and Special Risk for the insurance company Clements. Thanks for talking with us. Brass Tacks, what is cyber liability insurance and how does it work?
Basically, cyber liability is a form of an insurance policy that has been created specifically for cyber events, which could range from hacking to data breach. It could be that somebody from, like an employee, steals data from your computers or from the hardware, or it could range up to hacking and extortion and other events.
Since these two major ransomware attacks have taken place, have you seen more interest from your clients in this type of liability insurance?
What we generally have seen between yesterday to today and, you know, WannaCry event in back in May, was that we got asked whether these types of events will get covered under their cyber insurance. It's interesting what happened with the last two sort of the big ones is that it wasn't just a cyber liability policy that could have responded. It was more of a kidnap and ransom policy, which has cyber extortion extension that could have paid for such expenses, you know, extortion demands. So people don't generally think about it as, you know, they think it's kidnap and ransom, so they rule it out. But really, those types of policy also have cyber extortion.
Let me ask you this. How do you figure out who is at fault in some of these cases as the insurance seller? Like in a lot of the hacks that we are familiar with, someone inside the company actually screwed up by clicking on a link or something that led to big problems for their employer. So how do you deal with that?
As long as it's an inadvertent act, you know, so if an employee inadvertently or unintentionally opened a link, that actually does not prohibit a claim. And to be honest, we see more of social phishing type of claims leading to actual losses, like financial losses, than we see on some of the bigger events like cyber hacking and all that, you know, so because those are very real type of events.
Smita Bhargava is Vice President of Programs and Special Risk for the insurance company Clements. Thanks for talking with us, Smita.
Thank you.
Just to say this out loud on the radio, by the way, security researchers say this large-scale cyber attack was made possible by last month's global cyber attack. And by some measures, that cyber attack was made possible by spy agencies in the U.S. government because of what many say is the theft of a security hole in Microsoft software that the NSA had found and weaponized. We are building cyber weapons at home that are coming back to haunt us. And if you think about an older specter of destruction, nuclear weapons, and how much of the global community eventually came to realize that disarmament was the way to go, you gotta wonder when, if ever, we will think about pledging to not manufacture cyber weapons in the first place. It's an idea. I'm just saying. It's Silicon Valley time. Our guest today is Catherine Gorman, executive producer and co-host of the artificial intelligence-themed podcast, The Talking Machines. Catherine, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I'm so ready, Ben. I'm so ready.
And you're not a talking machine, right? I'm just checking.
No. Totally human. No artificial parts. My intelligence is completely meat-based. So, yeah.
All right. One card.
Oh, man. I got nothing.
It's okay. This is in reference to a physical debit card that the payment service Venmo has reportedly been testing. Dost thou Venmo?
Yes, definitely.
Would you get a Venmo card?
I don't know. I use Venmo to take care of my financial transactions digitally. I have lots of other cards. I don't know if I would want a Venmo card.
It's just interesting to see Venmo go backwards, you know, from the phone to the card.
Yeah, the whole like software versus hardware question, they seem to be like always kind of two different paths. And it's always a little bit weird when someone makes the jump from traditionally being in the other one.
Totally. All right, what do you got for me?
$50 million.
The salary that a form of artificial intelligence will make annually 5 years from now.
You would totally think so, right? The salaries are enormous. So $50 million is the amount that the company Drive.ai raised to pilot its software that allows cars to drive themselves.
Aha.
But the interesting thing here is that Andrew Ng recently joined the board of Drive.ai, and Ng was at the Chinese tech giant Baidu until March as their chief scientist. And previously, he was with the Google Brain Project. So when Andrew does something, it's something to pay attention to usually.
You know, when you've got a big wig from Baidu in your company, maybe it's a little bit easier to get a little scratch for what you're doing.
Definitely.
All right. 2 billion users.
This is the number of people that are on Facebook now. Is that right?
Well played, my friend. Well played. The company announced this week it hit the 2 billion user mark. You know, there are only 7.5 billion people in the world.
What's going to happen when we get to everyone being on Facebook?
Oh, my God. If the singularity is Facebook, I'm going to get real sad. Catherine Gorman, she's executive producer and co-host of the podcast, The Talking Machines. Catherine, thanks for playing Tally with me.
Thanks so much, Ben. It was so much fun.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.